Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Kenneth Copeland and guest David Barton reveal God's ultimate plan for this nation and the world. Despite the turmoil, a great victory looms on the horizon. Now, here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Join me in welcoming David Barton to this broadcast
today. Hey, bro. Today.
Hey, David, this has been a great 2 weeks.
Man. It has.
Things that have come up in our discussions, and as the Lord, you know, He said, "Where the two are gathered together in My name, I'm in the midst of it."
Mm-hmm.
And things began to really clear up concept and precepts and ideas about what God was thinking when He said these
things.
Let's go back over there to Exodus, where we were in the 34th chapter. And something He said here, you brought out the fact that he brought in over 600 laws.
Mm-hmm.
Well, He didn't bring all those laws in there just to beat you over the head.
That's right.
He gave them in there to tell you how to live successfully.
That's right.
If you follow this and you do this, if the problem they had that Moses had to deal with, they'd been in Egypt 400
That's
years.
Right.
Man, they didn't know what to eat. They didn't know how to eat it. They didn't know anything about
That's right.
everything from hygiene.
That's right.
Everything was wrong.
That's right.
And so they had to be retaught and retrained.
That's right.
And then also they're out there in a hostile environment. But then, as you said, there were 10 of these commandments that became the key issues.
That's right. God's top 10.
His top 10 here. And these are non-negotiable.
They are.
These are things you cannot treat lightly.
That's right.
And after yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about it. Lying, which in today's society is
part of getting rich. That's part of how
I'm just going to sue my way
money.
To the top.
That's
here.
That's right.
And that kind of thing. But it stands right up there with murder.
That's
it
right.
stands right up there. Well, it's in that top 10.
That's right.
With theft and this other, because of the vileness of it. Not just simply because God don't like it, but Satan is a liar.
Yeah.
And when you set yourself in company with him,
mm-hmm.
that jerk will kill you.
Yep.
And what he's got planned for you, you don't even want to talk about.
No, that's
brother.
Right. That's right.
So let's get back over there in that 27th verse, because there's something here that is so strong, and we need to springboard right off of that into the rest of what we're saying there. The Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Then he wrote down the top 10.
The Ten Commandments.
And actually, all of those others
fit under that.
Categorize underneath that.
That's right.
Now, notice what he said. I've made a covenant. What was his part of the covenant? He said, I'll be a God to you.
Yeah.
I will umbrella you from that curse that Adam and Satan brought into this planet. I will umbrella you. I'll protect you from your enemies. They come against you one way, I'll chase them out seven.
Mm-hmm.
I will prosper you financially. I will take all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. But now you make this covenant. You have to stay within the confines of these, because if you don't, it won't work.
Yeah.
So if you break out and get out here from out from under that covenant, there's not a whole lot I can
yeah,
do for
right.
you, because you've stepped out onto cursed ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so now just all hell breaks loose out there on
well,
you.
Let me throw a good example, because when God gave the 10 plagues on Egypt back there, the scripture says he made a distinction between the land of Goshen
yes,
and the land
did.
Of Egypt. And if you want to leave the land of Goshen and go sit over there in Egypt. Well, you can enjoy the flies and you can enjoy the toads.
It's going to cost you.
But it's your choice.
Big time.
If you want to cross that border and you want to get out from under the umbrella he's put over Goshen, I'm going to make sure the plagues don't hit Goshen. But they're over here. If you want to walk out of that umbrella, he's going to let you do it. He's not going to force you to stay there and
he
be protected.
He doesn't have to go over there and knock you in the head.
No.
Because I guarantee you, the head knocker's already over there.
And if you want to walk over there and get knocked, your choice. And
he even told him one time, he said, "Now, if you think them folks over there are better than I am, go on over there. But when you get in trouble, see if they can redeem you."
Exactly. Exactly right. And that's what's so cool about the way he does this is he says, "Look, guys, I've got 613 laws." And as you point out, they'd come out of Egypt. And he says, "You know, I can do it where that you don't have the diseases the Egyptians had. I'll put on you none of the diseases they had. Here's a health code you can follow. And if you follow my health code, you won't get sick like you got sick over there. And if you'll follow my all these different codes he had," but they said, "You know, with this whole comprehensive system that I've done to make you healthy and prosperous and safe and all this stuff, here's my top 10. And this is what has to get in the minds and thinking of Christians when they start looking at Canada. We've been talking this week about voting. Is, you know, a candidate may have 50 different issues, but I need to know where you are on God's top 10.
Because if he's out of place on that top 10, those issues that he seems to be right about, he'll wind up being wrong about that.
He will
too.
Be wrong.
Because if he violates that top 10, it's going to lead him into disaster on all the rest of it.
And what happens is, and we talked at the first of the week about how that we make a choice, and really when we cast a ballot, we are making a covenant with one side or the other, and we're going to get the blessings or the cursings that come with that covenant on that side. And for example, in the top 10 that we were covering yesterday, you know, certainly the public acknowledgement of God is in the top 10. Abortion goes in the top 10. Homosexual marriage, homosexuality, that goes in top 10. And I'm struck with how that in Romans 1, 27 through 32, God says, "I don't approve of homosexuality. And by the way, I don't approve of those who do approve of it." So I may not be a homosexual, but if I vote for someone who supports homosexuality, God can't approve of me because I've just now approved somebody who did.
You have opened the door and not even knowing it most of the time.
Yeah.
You've opened the door by doing that to all of the problems that people that are involved in that lifestyle, all of the things that is so damaging in that lifestyle. You've opened your household up to it. You didn't even realize you did it.
You made a covenant. You sowed a seed in that ground, and now you're reaping the
harvest. You take some guy that you know is corrupt. You know he's a thief.
Yep.
But now you know. Now, let me tell you something. Now, you know, my cousin is in business with him, and if I vote against this guy, man, it's going to mess up my farm and all this. No.
You just walked in the land of Egypt and got out of the land of Goshen.
Yeah, you did, because the stuff now that is in that guy's life, because he's a thief, he's corrupt.
Yeah.
You've opened the door to it because you've covenanted with him instead of God.
God, that's right.
Now, you've got his junk in your life, and you don't even realize where all this
mess is coming from. You don't know where the junk's coming from, but it's a covenant you made back
now,
there.
And the devil will keep that door hidden to you, and the only way you're going to find out is get the Word of God, and God reveal it to you, and you go back and close that door.
Well, let me throw another one out, because we've been looking this week at Deuteronomy 28 and through 30 and the blessing and the cursing, the two mountains. I want to take this thing on abortion just for a minute. I want to go back to Deuteronomy 27, just the two verses before where we started, 27:25, verse 25 out of chapter 27. And just an interesting, think of it in terms of abortion. It says, "Cursed be he who takes money to slay an innocent person." Now, I wonder if that might mean abortion doctors and abortionists taking money to slay an innocent person. And by the way, if a curse is going to be on that person, do you know that in the platforms of parties, we have platforms that support abortion facilities and say federal funding ought to go to it, you know, in a health care bill, or we're going to support a health care bill who funds people who kill innocent life, and God says a curse is on those people who do that, and now you're putting your money, you're putting your government, you're putting your vote into that. I think that gives me a
You've
curse,
also
too.
Closed the door just almost to ever having any kind of witness to the poor guy that's cursed on account of it.
You betcha.
Because you've isolated him by law.
You bet. And see, this is why the Ten Commandments, the moral law, are for our good. If we do that, we stay out of the cursing. We don't get under the cursing.
Yeah.
And so from a voting standpoint, right now, the abortion industry, the biggest abortion provider in the United States, is Planned Parenthood, as it is globally. They're all over the world. And the only reason Planned Parenthood makes a profit in the United States is because the government gives them that money. Nearly one-third of their money comes from the government. Man. They had $900 million last year, and their profit was $282 million, and the government gave them nearly $300 million.
I'm going to tell you right now, I have stood on the Word of God, Gloria and I, and our household and our children, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I refused to take the punishment of taking my tax money and putting it into killing the innocent. I refuse to allow that to come on my household.
Right.
I'm not allowing my household to be cursed because that's against my will.
And if you have cast your ballot, your seed for righteousness and saying, I'm not going that way, you might live in Israel with King Ahab and Jezebel, wicked, and you might be getting 3.5 years of no rain, but you may be like Elijah. God's going to send you a raven to take care of you.
Yeah, he's taking care of you all the
time. That's
right. That's the way it should be.
The whole nation may have it goofed up because of the leaders, but you're going to get taken care of because you made
a covenant. Give us an example of... I've seen this. I saw preachers do it on television one time. About allowing social issues and social justice, which is another way to say socialism.
Yeah.
But that's not the point right here. Where they get that flopped around, you mean to tell me that you would vote for somebody? Here you are, pastor of a church, and you would vote for somebody that participates in abortion?
Right.
Well, yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Well, because of this injustice over here.
They take care of the poor. On national television, one of the very, very prominent religious leaders in America, who is for big health care reform, was asked, well, would you support health care reform if it had abortion in it? Absolutely. Well, time out. I've just been told that that's a curse. Comes on abortion, and you think there's going to be a blessing on a health care bill that has a curse in the middle of it? Ain't no way. You think if Jesus Christ is sitting right there and the interviewer says, well, if this health care bill has abortion in it, you're going to support the health care bill? You think Jesus is going to say, yes, I would. I'd support abortion to get it. No, we got our priorities all wrong. And the same thing with poor. And I have a lot of fun with this because there's been this push in the last few years that, man, the government's got to take care of the poor. And I go, you know what? Biblically, there is no question we got to take care of the poor. If you will search the Bible, there are 205 verses that deal with taking care of the poor. That is a big emphasis to God. Here's the trick. Back in Genesis 1, God gives us His three institutions. He gives us the family, He gives us government, He gives us the church. So, what you have to do is when you find a verse that deals with the poor, you need to make a chart on the wall, three columns. Here's family, here's church, and here's government. And I'm going to look at that verse on taking care of the poor and see if it's directed to the family or to the church or to government. And I'm going to list these 205 verses. And when you get done, you're going to get over here and you're going to say, now, how many verses does God tell government to take care of the poor? And it's pretty revealing. Let me give you a great example. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 is the famous chapter that deals with fasting and righteousness breaking forth. And so we talk about fasting, Isaiah 58. And they fasted, and they fast for... And here's verse 6. This is really significant. God says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. Now, here's this. Now, this is the fast He's chosen. Is this not the fast I have chosen? Verse 7. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, that you can bring the poor that are cast out into your house, that when you see the naked, you cover them, and you don't hide yourself from their naked flesh? I don't think that's directed at government, because government doesn't fast. That's directed
at
me.
Just the government giving you the opportunity to write it off your taxes. That ain't good enough. He's wanting you to get involved in this. Get the church involved in it. And it's not good enough in the church just to let the pastor go do it.
No, it's not.
We need to be involved. These people are important to God.
That's right.
And the reason we need to do that, David, is to get them out of that poverty.
That's
part of the curse.
And government can't do that. Government will not get them out. Government has no compassion,
teaching.
It can say, you know, here's how you change your lifestyle to get out of the poverty. Government just keeps you right where you are. And see, here's another problem. Oh, and Matthew 25, by the way, repeats this New Testament, where Jesus, Matthew 25, verse 31 through the end of the chapter, Jesus separated the sheep and the goats, and he says to those on his right hand, come, blessed of the Father, into the inheritance I've got. I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. Yeah. I was naked, you took me. And they said, whoa, when did we do that? And he said, if you've done it the least one of these, that's not government he's talking to. He's talking to his disciples. Now, here's what I think is significant.
He didn't say, you didn't pass laws to take
care
of the poor.
That's right.
No, no, it's a personal thing with him.
That's right. The only verses in the Bible that deal with government taking care of the poor say that when the poor come into court, make sure they get justice, just like the rich. When the poor come into court, you treat them just like... That's the only verse in the Bible talk about government's role of taking care of the poor.
Isn't that amazing? And people have taken that issue that the government's supposed to do it and put it up above everything else. The very commandments
of God? You can't
do
it. Now, see, and here's what's so wild about it. We've talked
this week. David, how did we get this so twisted?
Well, we're even twisted in our logic now, because not only does God tell the church and individuals to take care of the poor, even if I were selfish, I would not let the government do it. And here's why. There is a group called the American Institute of Philanthropy. And this is a group that if I'm going to give charitable deductions, they monitor every nonprofit out there, because you might be giving money to a group and none of the money you give goes where it's supposed to. Uh-huh. So what they say is, all right, if 60% of your dollar that you give to a group goes where it's supposed to, then that's a group worth giving to. And one of the groups that we give to is a group called Wounded Warriors. They help the soldiers that have been injured. You know?
Yeah.
But
excellent.
I tell you what, if 60 cents out of every dollar I give doesn't make those soldiers, then I'm losing my money. It's not a worth. And what they say is, we'll allow you to spend 40% on administration and fundraising and sending out marketing letters. But if 60 cents out of every dollar doesn't get there, it's not a worthy charity. Now, the federal government has spent $9 trillion on the poor. Do you know what percentage of the government, when the government spends a dollar on the poor, you know what percent makes the poor?
My estimation would be none.
Well, actually, it does.
I know that's wrong, but that's...
30 cents out of the dollar. Now, there's not an American who would invest in a charity where only 30% made there.
70%
never reached... 70 cents
never
out of every dollar.
There.
The government is the most inefficient means there is of taking care of the poor. Do you know if the government would take that $9 trillion and just give it to the church and individuals, say, help the poor? Twice as much money would go to the poor if the government stayed out of it. Twice as much. So even if I didn't have the Bible tell me that...
Well, it would invoke the blessing of God,
which would be really big. See, and the church needs to be dealing with this issue, and individuals need to be looking around saying, hey, who are those around I can help? And you don't want them to stay in poverty. The government is happy with them staying in poverty. They just keep making them comfortable in poverty.
And that's not what you want.
And buy their vote. And see, that's why even if the Bible wasn't there, everything God tells us is for our benefit. And when we let government do stuff government wasn't designed to, it doesn't work. 70 cents out of every dollar is wasted. It never reaches the poor.
This again, David.
We got to vote right. We got to think right.
The panorama of this and the big picture of it gets more clear and more clear. No wonder big government makes an issue of keeping God out of here.
Sure, you bet. You bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you let government replace God, it's going to try to be God. It's going to try to meet your needs. Instead of looking to God as a source, we look to government as a source. But guess what? The blessings don't come with that.
We're going to kill who we want to kill. We're going to steal what we want to steal.
We're going to take your property.
We're going to lie when we want to lie.
Mm-hmm.
And right on down the line.
And if we elect people in office who perpetuate that, we...
David, it's not just... some governments that do that. That is 100% track record behind every government.
That's right.
That decides to be Big Brother.
That's right.
They all take the same direction.
But see, that's our choice. Our government didn't used to be that way.
No.
But
we did that. The church let go.
The church
that's
stopped,
what did it.
We stopped
it's
thinking
not
biblical.
Somebody else.
That's right. We sat on the sidelines. Oh, we're going to let you guys
everything
take care of that.
The devil gets away with, you lay it right at the feet of the church because Jesus
right.
gave us power to do something about it.
And the church can take this thing back where it's supposed to be. Because God made it real clear where government's supposed to be in the
let
role
it
has.
Let me ask you this in this final few seconds. Are we going to do it?
I have seen more progress in the last couple of years than I've seen in my lifetime. I'm convinced that God's got something going with His people.
I do, too.
And I'm convinced it's going to turn.
I think we're going to do it whether we like it or not.
I really do, man. I intend to be part of it, so I get the blessing that comes with it.
Yeah, you know, I am all for it. But I think God has made His move.
Yep.
And we're going to see prosperity like we've never seen before.
Yeah.
We're going to see a sweeping of souls, nations of people.
Yep.
Much to the devil's chagrin, we are going to see Jesus be Jesus, who is Lord and King. And we're out of time in more ways than one. Amen.
Yeah.
Brother David and I'll be back in just a moment.
The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge, its starting point and its essence. But fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, and discipline. The right to a God-centered education in colonial America was established so that generations of Americans would have a thorough knowledge of the Bible and be literate of the Word of God. John Quincy Adams noted in the early 1800s, that the illiteracy rate was only 0.4%. All but one of the 123 colleges in colonial America were Christian institutions founded by preachers or churches. Harvard University, the oldest university in America, stated that its original purpose for students was, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore lay Christ at the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning." Noah Webster, considered by many to be the father of American education, said that the purpose of schools was meant to advance Christian faith. For over 300 years, public education in America was God-centered. Abraham Lincoln stated that the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next. As a result, America is still governed by its first constitution and is the longest-running constitutional republic in the world. In 1962 and 63, the Supreme Court ruled school prayer and Bible reading unconstitutional in two court cases. Since that time, violent crimes in schools have increased by 700%, and teen pregnancies in the United States are the highest in the industrialized world. We pray for the awakening to God's Word for all leaders in education systems, that they utilize godly principles and values in educational programs. Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois, at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family. George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org.
Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And today, this carries a really an extra impact of significance from Galatians chapter 6. Let him that is taught in the Word respond, communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You can't mock Him and win.
That's right.
I don't care what the issue is, He's right.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That includes your ballot. And let me tell you something. You say, well, I ain't going to vote at all. You just right then disobeyed God,
yeah, that's right.
And you just voted for all the wrong
that's
side.
Right. You remember Aaron didn't get to go in the promised land. Moses goofed up and to go in the promised land, and God turned to Aaron and says, oh, by the way, you don't go either. What did I do? He spoke up,
nothing.
And you didn't say anything because you didn't say anything. That's it.
Yeah.
You're out. You didn't say anything. You're
man.
Exactly. When you don't
man,
vote,
oh,
you voted.
That's just the way it is.
It is.
Isn't it?
When you don't vote, you voted.
Or he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption.
Yeah.
But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Yeah.
As we have therefore opportunity, let's do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's powerful, David.
Yeah.
I don't care how you go at it, it applies.
It applies.
Now, when the Lord said to me that day years ago, I want every Friday on that broadcast to be offering day. I said, Lord, okay, but why are you so specific about this? He said, when you hear someone teach under the anointing, and you hear and you receive what they said. Now, those words, according to Mark 4, enter into the
That's
heart,
right.
But Satan stole it out of 75% of them.
Yeah.
Only 25% reaped 30, 60, and 100 fold.
Yeah.
Now, he said, in order for it to take root where the devil can't steal it, you need to sow seed in behalf of it.
Yeah.
So in this offering, you pray and see what the Holy Ghost would have you do concerning the finances of this ministry and its outreaches. That's between you and God. You obey Him. You find out what He wants you to do when it comes to sowing your ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make any difference what anybody else thinks about it. You pray and you do what you believe God's telling you to do.
That's right.
That's the key issue
That's
to
right.
all of these things.
That's right.
Amen. Father, we pray as all of the people in this radio and television audience are praying and listening to you about how they should sow in response to these things. We pray for a flood of harvest coming into their lives beyond their wildest dream. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Now, if you live outside the United States, as you sow into this ministry, it doesn't come here. It'll stay in the area where you are watching the broadcast, which is as it should. David, God bless you, man.
Thanks, man.
This has been a wonderful
two weeks.
I'm going to wait to get back in the tapes and so forth and find out what all we said.
That's right.
Amen. Praise God. We'll see you next time. Remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on The Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or for a copy of today's product, go to our website at kcm.org. You'll find an extensive resource of faith-based teaching to help you find the answers you're looking for. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today.